All right, here we go. Today is Thursday, October 26th. This is our last day broadcasting live from Cayman Island, and there's a lot going on. I mean, we still have earnings rolling in. Then we had this morning also GDP reporting earnings. So, market sold off yesterday. As you can see, there's a lot going on. We'll talk about this. Plus, UPS, one of our positions, reported earnings. So, is it good news or bad news? It's not too good news. Anyhow, we'll talk about this. Welcome to Coffee with Marcus and Mark. And in this show, we are going to talk to you about what's happening in the markets and how we are trading it. And if this is your first time here, I'm Marcus Hardcutter. This is my head coach, Mark Hodge, super smart cookie. And we're real traders who trade live accounts. So therefore, we got a lot of trading experience. And we're showing you how we trade these crazy markets. So trust me, we know our stuff and we're not afraid to tell you like it is. So if you're here looking for some honest insights into the fascinating world of trading, you are in the right place. And yes, it is the last day broadcasting live from Cayman Island.
It is. And gonna miss the place and everybody. It's been a lot of fun.
It has been a lot of fun. Okay, so let's see what's happening. S&P moving lower. And I mean, well below the 200-day moving average right now. Let me just see if I can bring it up right here. I mean, at first we thought that the 200 moving average would hold, and it did. Until it didn't. So what now? I mean, NASDAQ in correction territory. Let's talk about this and what it means.
Yeah, look at that. So correction is defined as a 10% drop from the prior high. And so if you look at that, we made highs back there in, what was that, July?
July.
And now we're more than 10% lower. So bad news for the market?
I mean, it seems that right now markets are just nervous because earnings season is going on and we're getting some mixed reports. I mean, it started off strong with JP Morgan reporting strong earnings, and then we had Coca-Cola reporting strong earnings. And now it's more of a mixed bag. And I think this week with so many companies reporting earnings, I mean, all eyes were on Microsoft, Alphabet, then yesterday after the bell, Meta. Then today, after the bell, Amazon will report earnings. And this is where we're talking about the magnificent seven that have been driving a lot of the growth this year. I mean, they are right now taking a hit. Let's take a look at those.
Exactly. So a majority of the S&P gains this year are tied to those seven stocks. And we see that there has been a little bit of a pullback, a little bit of a dip. Earnings continue to beat overall, but there are some guidance issues and some disappointment with some, you know, different segments of businesses like we saw with Google.
Yeah, I mean, Google yesterday losing, what, 9%, and today down another 2%. I mean, that's the worst day since, what, March?
March 2020, so in the heat of the pandemic when everybody was panicking.
Yeah, that's crazy. And then we had Microsoft reporting earnings. Better than expected yesterday, opening higher, but ever since then also pulling back. And right now, I mean, getting close to where they closed right before earnings.
Yeah, big reversal after such a positive reaction early on yesterday.
Right. And then we also have Meta reporting earnings. And this is where everybody looked at, okay, what will Meta say? And they're bouncing back a little bit. I mean, earlier they were down, what, 5%, and now down still 3.4%, even though they reported pretty good earnings.
Yeah, you look at that. We had an earnings beat. We also did better on revenue, or Meta did better on revenue. And, you know, not the significant swings that we had in 2022, but still a big loss for Meta today. Seems like it's tied to ad revenue concerns and then also the cost of their Reality Labs division.
Yeah, because I looked into this, and I mean, ad recovery pushes revenue up 23%. So here's some key data that is always important to look into, especially for the social media. It's all about the daily active users, and the daily active users increased, the average revenue per user increased. I mean, these are all good numbers, but yep. I said, it seems that right now it's a little bit weird what traders, investors, and analysts are focusing on. And here they are focusing on, as you said, the Reality Labs division.
Yeah, maybe good old Zuck bit off a little more than he could chew, and we know that the switch to the metaverse was a little premature, at least for investors to get excited about.
It seems so, and I mean, so it lost $3.74 billion for the quarter, so that's around $25 billion since the start of last year. And I think that right now, with AI dominating the headlines, everybody wants to see, okay, what are they doing? And Zuck said, okay, in terms of investment priorities, AI will be our biggest investment in 2024. And probably everybody's asking, why not 2023? Why are you still hanging out in the metaverse in 2023, right? Why didn't you invest massively in AI? Why do you say that next year it becomes a focus?
Maybe a little late to the party here, but at the same time, it will be interesting to see what he can do.
Yeah. Anyhow, right now, still down. So if you take a look at this, we are down 3.5%, but clawing back a little bit the earlier losses that we saw. All right. Earnings. There's still a ton of others. I mean, Hasbro reporting earnings and being down 11%.
Rough day for Hasbro. And if we look at the earnings there, negative EPS, also worse than expected revenue. So a tough quarter.
Yeah. Love, Southwest Airlines, not feeling the love. I mean, recovering now, but doing much worse. And we looked at it this morning. I mean, they have just been stair-stepping lower. We can almost switch to a weekly chart where we see what is happening to Love here and just sliding down from $65 to now $23 a share.
Yeah, that's a big, big drop to lose almost 60% of your value there.
Yeah. So then also super interesting, Mattel. I mean, everybody was wanted to know, how did the Barbie movie that I saw, did you see it?
I plead the fifth.
Okay, anyhow, how does this affect earnings? And yeah, I mean, they did report earnings. It came out, I need to switch back to a daily chart so that we see it. And earnings, much better than expected. So as you can see, earnings, a surprise upside of 25%. Revenue, 4.2%. So why are they sliding 7% today?
You tell me.
It is because they said that a lot of this growth is attributed to the Barbie movie. And this
so
is where everybody says,
forward,
okay,
what are
yeah,
you
moving forward, what's the next movie? Yep. Are you doing Barbie 2 or what are you spinning off right now? So as you can see, clawing back, but earlier today, they were falling from around $20 to $16 almost. I mean, that's what, almost a 25% loss, clawing it back right now, but still down 7.6%, because the question is, how will they repeat it?
Yeah.
Now, typically, Christmas season, strong for Mattel, but what's happening next year? All right, so shifting focus a little bit and looking at the economic calendar, we had the advanced GDP coming out today.
Look at that. And a big, big number for advanced GDP. There are three phases here to GDP, but this is usually the most significant. And we see that the previous reading was 2.1%. The forecast was 4.5%. We came in at 4.9%, which is a big increase from what was expected.
Big increase. And the reaction of the market to this, super interesting. We have to actually switch to the futures markets and the E-mini S&P. Because this is where we see what happened. And after it was released, at first, markets were jumping higher.
Yeah, because it's really hard to digest this and figure out what to do next, right? Because is good news, or is good news bad news? You have to think about what the Fed is going to do with this information and what the Fed might do might be bad for the market, even though this is good news. But I think that the initial reaction is, hey, we've been talking about recession for a year and a half now.
Right.
And when you have such strong GDP, no recession.
Right. So this was the initial reaction. And after this, it was that traders, investors looked into this and said, okay, so what happened here? And one of the major factors, I mean, here we just see how GDP is nicely picking up again right now. But then I saw it a little bit down here. There we go, right? Consumer spending was responsible for 68% in the GDP. Meaning that, okay, consumers are spending. That's not what the Fed and Powell want to see. They want to see the economy slowing down. And this is where I believe that the markets today say, okay, with all of this information, with the GDP information coming out, with this mixed earnings coming out, we don't know what to do.
Yeah.
This is what we see here on the 5-minute chart of the S&P, opening lower, pushing lower. Just before we started the show, pushing higher, now pushing lower again. It's like, oh, what's happening?
And that's just it. We have to think about what would the Fed do, or what will the Fed do with this information? And does it mean rates are here for a longer period to combat inflation? Does it mean the Fed needs to raise rates more? A strong economy is good in normal times, but in a high inflationary environment, it's not helping the Fed's efforts.
Yeah, and let's take a look here at the 10-year yield, because that is the one that everybody is paying attention to right now. So overnight, we got awfully close to the dreaded 5% level. We were trading at 4.98. And then, again, initial reaction to GDP is, all right, moving lower, then higher again, then lower again. And it's all about, okay, what does it mean? What will Powell tell us next week?
Should we look at the probabilities?
Let's take a look at the probabilities and let's see what's happening here, because the next meeting is in 6 days, next Wednesday. It starts on Tuesday, but then concludes on Wednesday. And this is the big one where they will let us know. So let's see, what does the stakeometer look like? Let's go there. And I mean, interesting again right now,
yeah.
This column is just flip-flopping from one side to the other side, where traders are pretty much certain, okay, rates will stay the same. But then there's always this 1-point-something% that either says, okay, rates will go higher or lower. I think this morning I saw the probabilities flip-flop that 1.4% said they might decrease rates. And of course, they're not going to do this.
No, I mean, the market is absolutely priced in the fact that the Fed will keep rates the same. So it will be a huge shock if they decide to cut or raise rates. At this point, traders think there's no chance. So sorry, yeah. Marcus, you owe me stakes.
That's okay. I asked Lori to help me out here. Anyhow, nice. So let's talk about the next meeting and also the probability. So right now, traders are also believing that for the next meeting, the Fed is keeping rates the same, although it's 20% that say they will raise rates. And I mean, they have said, Powell and his gang have said that they are planning to raise rates, what, 2 more times this year. That's probably not going to happen, because this is the second to last meeting. And if they're not raising rates now, they only have the December meeting to raise rates.
And this is where traders and these probabilities, traders probably got it right this time. They've really been slow to react, and they've always been a little bit behind what the Fed has said they're doing, and the Fed continues to do what they say. But in this case, the dot plots were released in September, and I think the next time is December. Yep. So it's a little bit behind. They have continued with their commentary that they're not afraid to raise rates, and rates could stay higher longer than people expect. But this time it seems like the 10-year yield in particular, that's doing the work that the Fed thought originally they had to do.
Yeah, and if you look at this right now, this is where traders say, we don't know. We do believe that they raise interest rates one more time, but we don't know when. It could be in December. It could be in January. It could be in the March meeting. It could be as late as the May meeting. So, but there is a probability that the Fed will raise rates again. But again, we'll hear what Powell has to say next week. And seeing if he says, well, the market is doing the job for us.
And core PCE tomorrow. So I don't think that that's going to change the probability significantly, but it's definitely going to be something that the Fed is going to keep an eye on.
Yeah, and you're right. I mean, this is an important one tomorrow, the core PCE price index. That is the one that Powell likes the best. And I mean, it is expected to increase at 0.3. Honestly, I believe that it will come in even hotter. I believe it will come in at 0.4 or even 0.5.
Wow. It could. I wouldn't bet a box of steaks against that.
Yeah.
But I think potential market moving, but no impact on their decision in November.
Yeah. All right. ready to take a look at our positions?
Sure.
All right, so let's see what we have here. CSIQ, I mean, moving lower, but it seems that overall it has found a bottom right around 20, and that's what we're looking for because we are interested in flying a rescue mission here. And, I mean, this could be... I think we should wait until the decision is out of the way. I was thinking about maybe doing it this week or early next week, but since we had this slide and broke below the 21 level and now seem to find support at the 20 level, I would say let's wait until next week.
And that's what I'm thinking. I'm really liking this chart for a rescue. I know that sounds weird when you're seeing the drop that took place over the last month or two, but I like that it's stabilized. It seems more orderly. Even on this drop, the magnitude of the drop is minor compared to what we've seen.
Yeah. So doing okay there. Goldman Sachs actually today positive for the day. Looked pretty strong earlier this morning, and now with the markets just whipsawing, but still up right now 0.1%, while the markets overall are down. So here we sold the 305 calls against our existing position. So we actually both closed them this morning. Did you close them?
No.
You didn't? Okay, I closed them this morning. I bought them back at 96% of max profits.
Nice. Why didn't you tell anybody?
No, I didn't. I did in UPS.
What the heck? Yeah, no,
jeez,
UPS.
Okay. Okay.
I was going to say,
because
there was still some, it was close to 90%, but then it,
I got mixed up. Okay, yes. I need to snap out of the island mood here. Okay, anyhow, so this is still open, the 305. Doesn't seem that we are getting called away. They probably expire worthless tomorrow. Yeah.
And then just in time to rally next week, sell some calls again.
Yep. NEE, just moving higher and higher. And this is kind of, it feels, okay, we missed the possibility of possibly firing a rescue mission,
sure.
But I mean, that is okay. We don't want to catch a falling knife. We want to see that it is going sideways. And at first it looked like it would go back towards the 48 level. Right now, moving higher, I mean, I said it yesterday, probably it'll stop just shy of the 60 level, hang out here for a little bit, and then hopefully continues its march higher.
I am right there with you. Good looking chart, good looking rebound. And I like that we took out those highs that we saw a little bit earlier.
Yeah. PNC also, this is where we were looking at a potential rescue mission somewhere around these levels. But then today, I mean, PNC just taking off, beating the overall market on, I don't know, I haven't seen any news here, but I'll take it.
Yeah. I mean, this is where a rescue at 110 would definitely be a little bit sooner than we would normally do one. But those lows were looking good compared to where we've traded earlier this year. And hey, if it wants to make a move, pop back into that range and continue to rally, I'm all for it.
Right. All right. Hey, by the way, before we go to UPS, the big one, if you're enjoying the show, click on like. Do it now. It's a good idea. we like it. Okay. So UPS reporting earnings today and... the initial reaction is not good.
Look at that. Oh, UPS.
UPS. Come on, little buddy. I mean, yeah. It's interesting because the earnings they reported weren't too bad, right? So let's take a look at this. Let's bring it up here really quick. A look at the earnings report and see that they actually beat earnings. Oh, trying to click on it. Come on. There we go.
So an earnings beat, a revenue miss.
A revenue miss. I mean, talked about it. So they reported $21 billion for the quarter. That's $21,000 million. And they missed it by $341. Shouldn't be a big deal, right? Because they also said, okay, so we did have all these labor negotiations. They had those and they said, okay, customers were nervous, shifted the volume to other carriers. They say all of this volume is back. They say we are perfectly positioned for the holiday season. But internationally, they saw an 11% drop on international shipping. And this is where right now, okay, international, do you spell it like this? Maybe.
Yeah,
it's probably okay. Right, and this is where right now investors say, well, is this good, is this bad? Well, we assume it's bad, right? And this is why right now down 4.3%, not what we wanted to see.
No, and we knew that looking at the earnings analysis tool that it's kind of hit or miss with earnings. And this drop that did take place, it's actually in line with past experiences and movement that UPS has experienced with an earnings reaction. So you see there, earnings probability on an overnight move, maybe a little bit positive, but on average down 4.6%. If we look at the seventh day, it's hit or miss, about a 50% up, 50% down, and on the downside down 5.8% versus 8.7% higher. So we knew this going into the trade. I didn't feel we needed to close the trade to avoid the risk, but of course, wishing that there was a positive reaction. But I agree that I do think UPS is positioned well heading into the holidays.
Yeah, and I mean, this is where it's always, okay, UPS against FedEx, right? And this is where everybody says, okay, where do we stand for the day? So UPS actually doing a little bit worse than FedEx. So UPS year to date down 19%. If you take a look at FedEx, I think that they were only down, what, year to date, up 30% FedEx?
Wow.
Does this make sense? I don't know.
I wouldn't have guessed that, but hey.
That is super interesting. Let's just zoom out and take a look at, oh yeah, because they had this message. No, this was last year.
Yeah, but I don't think UPS had that huge drop that FedEx did. So FedEx came back a little stronger this year.
That's what it appears like. Okay. Well, we'll see. Still like UPS. I mean, if you think about parcel delivery, you think FedEx, you think UPS. You have the postal office. Internationally, you have DHL. But, I mean, there's not too many options here.
I mean, actually, go back to the FedEx chart because I think that this, of course, anything can happen. But I think this is a good example of a good, solid company where there is that concern. There is that worry on that drop. But then buying interest picks up for some quality stock.
Yeah. All right. Well, that's what we got for you today. And yes, tomorrow there will be no Coffee with Marcus and Mark because we are both traveling home. And then we will be back in our studios next week. Well, not quite, because you're going home. I'm going to Orlando to speak at the Money Show. So join you from there.
Nice.
Definitely. Okay. So if you enjoyed this and also enjoyed it live here from Cayman Island, click on like. If this is your first time here, consider subscribing. And if you feel that this was valuable and you want to share it with your friends, we would appreciate this. Share it with anybody who might find this helpful and have a great weekend. We'll see you again on Monday.
Happy trading, everybody.